suppose. When I do Bible study with folks, especially with the younger generations coming up, the first thing I have to teach them is how to think. Because people don't know how to think anymore. I mean, literally, we've lost the genders. If that's not indicative that we don't know how to think, I don't know what is. You're giving them what they need to be responsible adults, but not by the world standards. World standards are responsible adult. Okay. Keep you out of trouble. I want you to get a good job and make money, be able to provide for your family. All those are great things. And that's success by the world's viewpoint. That's not success by God's viewpoint. I mean, it's part of it. I mean, you got to take care of your own household. You're worse than the unbeliever if you don't. Okay. Scriptures talk about that. But there's a whole moral and character side of this that parents are here to instruct their kids. The discipline and admonition here is in the Lord. We are to train them to be responsible spiritual citizens. And here's the other thing, to give them the tools they need to make decisions God would want them to make. We don't make the decisions for them, especially as they're older and becoming adults and are adults. We don't make decisions for them. You can't. You got to pull back at that particular point. But your job when they're growing up is to give them the ability to make the decisions. All of my kids are grown. And sometimes we never thought we'd get there. But I want to tell you this part. You want to know the number one thing that we wanted from our kids? And I'm taking the whole become a Christian thing out of it, because that's really not anything I can control. Because that's an adult level decision. That's something they do. The most important thing to us was not obedience. Absolutely not obedience. It was attitude. It was attitude. I tell you what, kids didn't do what they were supposed to do. Yeah, there was a correction of some sort instilled. Every instance of a bad attitude was dealt with. Every one. And I'll tell you that, it was exhausting. Kid says, no, we're not going to do that. Kid stomps her foot, it's dealt with. Kid puts their arms down and gives you an attitude. No. Attitude is the most important thing. It always needs to be adjusted and corrected. Always. Because you're going to handle the obedience thing by handling the attitude. And a negative attitude to authority when they're 2 and 3, a negative attitude towards authority when they're 1, turns into a negative attitude about authority when they're 18, 19, 20, 25, 30, and you're still dealing with it in your adulthood, in your relationship to God. Attitude is always primary. I'm not talking about every time your kid has a bad attitude that you get out the spoon and you go, I'm not talking like that. I'm talking about you need to help them adjust their attitude. Jessica used to make all these songs and they were great and they still stick in my head. All of these songs to help them when they had a bad attitude about something to get their attitude back up. Like she had this one. How many of you, when you ask your kids to clean up their toys, they're like, they don't want to, right? Stop. No, not at all. We used to sing this happy little ditty around our house. Clean up, everybody clean up. I can do a good job. I can do a great job. They respond to music. I might have had the words mixed up. I think I had the words mixed up. It's fine. Yeah, but I did have the word. No, she's like, yeah, you had the word mixed up, but it's fine. But we always had these songs to help them fix the attitude. So that we wouldn't have to get out the spoon to correct. It was just simply a word most of the time would help with the attitude being flipped around. You want to know why that worked? It's because it was consistent every single time. When we were teaching our kids to, moving from the crib to a bed, that's always a hard transition. Because, you know, the kids want to, they want to get up, they want to run around. And so we had a rule. You could have a book in your bed, but you weren't allowed to get out of bed. If a foot touched the ground, you're going to get back in bed. At that time frame, I was working 7 days a week. I was working about 90 to 100 hours a week. And most of the time, I wasn't home at bedtime. So Jessica, after dealing with the kids all day, she would crank that out. And so she was really consistent with it. My wife's really tenacious, if you haven't figured that out. She just has this, and all the phrase that her and I would say back and forth and to ourselves all the time, my will is stronger than yours. My will is stronger than yours. My will is stronger than yours. That was more for us than it was for anybody else, because they just had a way of wearing you down, right? On Fridays and Saturdays, you know, I'd get home a little bit earlier on Fridays, and Fridays and Saturdays I'd take over. And after working that long, it was tiring. Going upstairs, because we were downstairs, they were upstairs. Going upstairs 20 to 30 times a night, I'm not joking. It's what we did. And I finally got good. I got smarter than my kids. And I probably thought that it was like this supernatural thing that was going on. There was a gap at the stairs that I could go up. We had a story and a half and the whole top of it was open. We had a little gap between the dresser and the floor. And I would pretend like I was going downstairs. And then I would get on the stairs and I would just watch. And I would see the foot. It would come off the bed. It would kind of go towards the floor and it wouldn't touch and it would go up. It wouldn't touch. It would kind of go down and it would go up. And then as soon as the flat of the foot was on, I was boom, 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 boom upstairs. They didn't even know that. Not a sound was made, but I went back up. I said, let's get back in bed. I'm like, oh no. Okay. You know, but that's what it took. Your will has to be stronger than theirs. It just has to be. You're the parent. Has to be stronger than theirs. You know, and then the attitude is way more important than the obedience. We're to counsel and warn them of the tools that the world and Satan uses to deceive them. One other little piece of principle that I'll give you that's really important. You have to frame the worldview for your children when they're young. You have to frame the world for them. Do not let the world, culture, their friends, school, anything frame the world for them. You have to do it. If there's a void, if you're not doing it, there's a void, something's going to fill that void. If you're not framing the world for your child, someone else is going to frame it for them. That's why daily devotions in your household are a must. That's how you instruct. That's how this all gets done. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a second. Verse 4. This is a famous passage. It's called the Shema. Verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Notice that. Teach them to your children. When you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lie down and when you rise up. In other words, all the time. They're sponges. They're soaking information up. You can't let the world do it. You can't let YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, TV, whatever the case is, teach your children. You have to do it. My generation, I'm Generation X. My generation was raised by MTV. HBO, my friends, and the school. My parents did not instill values in me. They were hands off. I don't ever remember having in-depth value conversations with my parents. It just never happened. I was raised by culture. And I can tell you, that damaged me. I'm still working my way out of that. I'm 51 years old. I'm still working my way out of that. Yeah, I'm old. What's that mean for you, Dale? My wife always jokes me when I say, you know, when she's getting older, she's like, yeah, you're older than me. What does that make you? So we have to be proactive, deliberate, and purposeful as to how we do this. Now, let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 3. Sorry, Colossians chapter 3. My mistake. Verse 21. And actually, verse 20 says the same thing. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And then verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. So you put those two passages together in Ephesians and Colossians, you get the whole picture. Now, that word for exasperate, this is an interesting word. It means to stir up, arouse to anger, provoke, irritate, or incite. Now, it actually can be used in a good way, and it is in 2 Corinthians 9:2. We won't necessarily go there. Now, let's talk about what this means and what it doesn't mean. First of all, what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we should never make our kids angry. Doesn't mean that. Okay, there are times where decisions you make are not going to be popular. And that brings up another point. You are their parent, not their friend. I want to be my kid's best friend. Nope, you don't. When they're adults, sure. I'm great friends with my kids now. But guess what? They're adults. When they were kids, I was not your friend, was I? No. But we had a great relationship. I'm the only dad they had. Jessica was the only mom they had. We needed to fulfill those roles. We were not their friends. My job was to instruct them. But it was to make sure that the way I instructed them did not provoke anger by me being unjust. And I'm going to explain some things as to what I mean by that. By the way, all the verbs that we're looking at in these verses are all imperatives. They're commands. They're essentials that need to be done. And he says, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. That word for lose heart is very interesting. It means to be disheartened, spiritless, or to have a broken spirit. It means to crush their will. You do not want to crush the will of your child. You want to guide the will of your child. All three of my kids were completely different. Matter of fact, they couldn't, and if you know them as adults, they couldn't be more different. Leah was, and I'm not speaking out of turn, I'd say it if she was here, she was really strong-willed. Like, wow, strong-willed. And she's being our first. I mean, there were times after the 20th time she refused to pick up her toy when she was about 18 months old. It was the battle. It was the battle that determined if we were going to win or lose going forward. So there was pick up your toys. No. Pick up your toys. No. So every time we would apply discipline. We would apply pressure to the posterior area. Now, she was in a diaper. It wasn't, you know, it's just a, didn't do like what my dad did and got out the 2-inch leather belt and beat you within an inch of his life. That was the way my dad instilled discipline. Was not going to do that. But there's a reset button in there. Sometimes it just has to be pressed a few times in order for it to reset. After about the 20th time, I have tears in my eyes. Jessica has tears in her eyes. Leah has tears in her eyes. But she's still saying no. What do I do then? Do I say, I know God says this, but it's just not working. I got to think of something else. Do I stop? Do I relent? The conversation Jessica and I had at that moment is that if we stop now, We're going to have to fight this battle next time. We have to win this battle. Because she needs to know that our will is stronger than hers. Not to crush it, to guide it. And eventually she picked up her toy and we all just went, yay, and hugged. And she was just ecstatic that the relationship's restored now. And she just picked up her toys and everything was great and we forgot all about it. But guess what happened after that? Anytime we asked her to pick up her toys, we never had to go down that road again. Ever. But if we stopped, we were going to have to go down that road every time until they recognized, yes, my will is stronger than yours. You're the parent. Your will has to be stronger than your kids. Our goal was to have Leah maintain her strong-willed nature, but to direct it in the right way. And if you know her, she does that. She is still exceedingly strong-willed. She will not back down from her principles. And each one of the kids had a different challenge. All your kids are going to have different challenges. You know this. All your kids are different. They're going to have different challenges, positives and negatives. You have to shape them as individuals. But again, attitude being the first part and being consistent all the time. That means you have to be present to be consistent. You got to be present to be consistent. What things do parents do, can we do, to exasperate our children so that they lose their spirit and it's broken? One of the things, and I've got a few things listed here, we're just going to run through these real quick. Being inconsistent in the way that we apply correction. This is what my parents did. I could do something and they would say, stop it. I do the same thing, they say nothing, even though they saw it. I can do the same thing, and then maybe they'll laugh at it. And then I can do the same thing, catch them in the wrong mood, and they explode. So I could have taken those things as really improper, you know, types of discipline and said, I'm not going to discipline my kids at all like that because I was disciplined improperly. Or I could say, you know what, God knows what he means when he disciplines us. He's consistent with us, so let's go ahead and do that. We need to be consistent with the discipline. And as we do, that's going to instruct our children in the proper way. If they get disciplined this is for you. If you've got a standard where something's unacceptable, it's not an appropriate thing to do, and they get disciplined for it once, they should have, and again, I don't mean smacks on the butt or something like that all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a correction, whether it's working on the attitude or whatever. If having a bad attitude once and they get corrected, every single time it has to happen. And by the way, you know what that's going to do for you? It's going to make your job as a parent a lot easier. You're not going to have to fight the same battles for years and years and years and years. You'll have to reinforce them once in a while, but your children crave those boundaries. When they've got safe boundaries, there's freedom there. They're able to enjoy. They're able to have all kinds of laughter and happiness. We had all kinds of laughter and happiness around our house. It was constant. We had a great time. So being consistent in the way that we apply correction. And then here's another one, not giving them the tools to do the job. Ever go into a restaurant or on a plane or something like that, and the parent has never instructed the kid to ever sit quietly, and then they act up at the restaurant or on the plane, and then the parent freaks out on the kid because they're not doing what they're telling them to do by sitting down and being quiet, even though they've never trained them to sit down and be quiet? Don't expect the kid to do the job if you haven't given them the tools to do the job. Where are they going to learn to sit down and be quiet? You practice that at home. It's like, okay, we're going to do 5 minutes. We're going to sit down. You're going to quietly play with your toys, quietly read a book. 5 minutes. Great. And then you move up time to where they're able to sit down quietly for 30 minutes or so. Even when they're young, they can do that. It just takes consistent instruction at home over and over and over and over again, so that when you get into a situation where you need them to do that, they're going to do it. Setting unclear expectations or changing them kind of goes back to the consistency thing. You know, we hate it. Don't we hate it? Like if a boss or somebody, they give us a something to do and then they change the expectation halfway through. Oh, no. That's one of the reasons we don't like government a lot of times, because that's what government does. You know, everything changes. Drop of a hat. Same thing happens with employer. Same thing's true with your kids, right? Have those consistent expectations and have them enforced. There's freedom there. Believe it or not, there's freedom there. Here's a big one. This is a big one in my life. Not modeling the character you expect from them. Not modeling the character you expect from them. One of the best times I had with my dad, and I use that sarcastically. I was 12 years old and decided to try smoking. Both my parents smoked. I hid the cigarettes in the bathroom in a really dumb way so that when my dad opened the medicine cabinet, they fell down. I wasn't smart. So I get home that day and, you know, he's busy doing stuff. And then he finally sits me down and he starts chewing me out for smoking, while he had a cigarette in his mouth. Guess how well that conversation went? In my head, as he's yelling at me, I'm like, you're such a joke. You're such a hypocrite. Guess how much impact that had on me? None. Zero. I was a rebellious little punk back then, but I played the card right in front of them, because I saw the way my brothers used to get beat, and I was like, I'm just going to be smarter than them. So I hit it better. We got to model the character we're expecting from them. Your kids will know if you're fake. If you say assembly is the most important thing and then you don't come, don't expect them to make assembly the most important thing. If you say we always have to be truthful and honest and they see you lie, don't expect them to be truthful and honest. And don't expect them to respond properly to correction if they see you doing the same thing that you're correcting them for. That's exasperating. That provokes to anger. And if you've ever been the recipient of that, I actually had these words spoken to me. Do as I say, not as I do. Great. Expecting too much or too little, being too passive or too overbearing. In one of the other aspects here, as your kids get older, you got to lay off. You got to pull back. That's hard. Ask my kids. It's hard. I haven't always done that correctly. The most important thing you can do, especially as they get older, starting around the ages of 12 or 13, 14, you need to help your kids get their own faith, their own belief system. Not just believe it because you do. Treat your children as your disciples. Take them through the scriptures. Teach them the principles. Start to expose them to the world in the right way so that you can frame it. You can be the lens. We had family members that had all kinds of things messed up. And so what we did is, you know, a lot of times we shielded them from that when they were younger. As they got older, we opened it up to them and said, see, they present it on the outside like life's all fun and games. Here's what their life is really like. It's like I always talk about the beer commercials. You know, in the beer commercials, man, I haven't seen one in a long time, but from what I remember, it was always like, man, life's great. It's just a big party. Everything's fun. They don't show them puking the next day in the toilet. They don't show them with the hangover, because that doesn't sell beer. You need to show them the hangover, because that's reality. Frame their perception and then teach them as if they're a disciple, so that they can think for themselves. And then as they get older, make sure you respect their free will in adulthood. We're more like counselors at that particular point. They have to be able to make their own decisions, but we're always there for them, to help them, to guide them. to help them pick up the pieces when it doesn't work out the way that they think it does, the way they think it should. Think about all the things that get you mad, that irritate you, that exasperate you about your boss, about your government, about anybody that has authority over you. That list really applies. I mean, you can see all those things, things that are done to you even now as adults, and they drive you nuts. Let's make sure we're not doing that to our kids. Let's make sure we're modeling the right behaviors, the right attitudes, the right mindsets to help instruct them on the way that they need to go. And now let's think about God. You're God to your kids. The way you act as a parent is the way that they're going to think God acts when they finally start to come under His authority as adults. That's the way, you know, I can tell you from personal experience. It took me a long time to realize that if I sinned against God, God didn't get in my face, yell at me, and then tell me to get away from Him and not talk to me for 3 days. I didn't want my kids to have that mindset. So I never told my kids to get out of my face. I never told them to go to their room that I didn't want to see them. When my kids did something wrong, it wasn't get away from me, it's come here. Because we're going to deal with it. When the discipline was engaged, there was hugs, there was kisses. We get out of the room, it's like it never happened. We're then building, we're moving forward. We did that on purpose because at that moment, at the time that I was doing that with my kids, I was still dealing with the fact that God didn't want me to get away from Him if I messed up. It messed me up for years. And if you look back at your life, you'll know that the way that you were raised is either help, it either helped you or it messed you up. And it could be, and you still might be getting over it. You still might be having to deal with it. God doesn't do anything on those lists. He's that perfect parent. And I'm not saying that we have to be perfect in every way on this. We've probably all made mistakes already. It's okay. It's okay. We just simply need to be able to admit that we've made mistakes. I mean, I've asked my kids forgiveness lots of times. And thankfully, they're forgiving. We just need to try. We need to want to be the best we can be. To be as consistent as we can be. To grow. To have humility to say, man, I don't get this. I don't understand it. Can you help me? If it's not working the way you want to, ask for help. There's plenty of folks around that can help. It's really crazy how important parenting is. It sets the stage for every other single relationship that we have. And the one thing I know for certain is that everybody in here wants to do the best job they possibly can. I know that. So I just wanted to lay these things out a little bit. I hope they've been encouraging. Sometimes it's easier to talk about the things not to do, and then we could do a whole lot of conversations about the things to do. And I don't mean to just be talking about myself, but that's the only thing that I know about. You know, I don't necessarily know all the things that other people do inside their homes. I can just tell you the things that I did that worked. I can tell you things that I did personally that didn't work. Okay, I didn't do everything right. But I think if we share our experiences with one another, that can help us learn from them and help us to build. Because we all want the best for our kids. So next week, we'll get a little bit more back into the main context at hand, into the government of Rome, and discuss a little bit more about what that was like and why Paul was telling them to submit. All right, let's go ahead and close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You so much for all that You bless us with. We thank You, Lord God, for the principles that You give us in Your Word. And I pray, Lord God, that we can really just examine ourselves and figure out where we're at and and how we can model your principles better. We love you so much more than anything. And we just want we want the best for our kids. We want the best for the church. We want the best for everybody here. So help us, Lord God, to seek that with all of our heart. We know that you will answer. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.